Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, I just pray that you touch everybody in this place with your spirit and with your love. I pray, Lord, that you'd open heaven for us and you'd open your word for us, Lord, that we would receive. I pray that you'd send powerful revelation. That's what we seek, Lord. Revelation of you and of your ways. Lord, stir up that which is in us, Lord, to seek you and to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, Thursday is Thanksgiving. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving today. My favorite holiday. Amazes me, I've got a sister that's an atheist, but she celebrates Thanksgiving. I don't understand it, but I can't understand how, with the way God reveals himself, how anybody could call themselves an atheist. A large dog walks into a butcher shop carrying a purse in its mouth. See that all the time, don't you? He puts the purse down and sits in front of the meat case. "What is it, boy?" the butcher jokingly asks. "Want to buy some meat?" "Woof," barks the dog. "Hmm," says the butcher. "What kind? Liver, bacon, steak?" "Woof," interrupts the dog. "And how much steak? Half pound? 1 pound? Woof." The amazed butcher wraps up the meat and finds the money in the dog's purse. As the dog leaves, he decides to follow. The dog enters an apartment house, climbs to the third floor, and begins scratching at the door. With that, the door swings open and an angry man starts shouting at the dog. "Stop," yells the butcher. "He's the most intelligent animal I've ever seen." "Intelligent? Intelligent," says a man. "This is the third time this week he's forgotten his key." He wasn't thankful, was he? I'm going to contrast that to a story of Pam, who worked in downtown Chicago. Every morning she encountered a heavy-set middle-aged woman in a shabby coat soliciting spare change in front of an old brick church. She greeted everyone with a smile and a pleasant good morning. Pam almost always gave her something. After almost a year of this routine, however, the woman in the shabby coat disappeared. Pam wondered what had happened to her. Then one beautiful day, she was in front of the church again, still wearing the same shabby coat. As Pam reached into her purse for the usual donation, the woman stopped her. "Thank you for helping me all those years," she said. "You won't see me again because I've got a job." With that, she reached into a bag and handed Pam a wrapped package. She had been standing at her old spot waiting, not for a handout, but for the people she recognized so that she could give each of them a donut. She was thankful. Our scripture today is in Luke chapter 17. First, I'm going to read verses 11 through 19. "And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourself unto the priest.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Why talk about leprosy in a Thanksgiving message? Well, we're going to find out. Jesus entered into a town, and he met 10 men that were lepers. And he told them, after they had called out to him, Have mercy on us. After he saw them, it says, that's interesting. It doesn't say after he heard them, but when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priest. That was according to the law, what they had to do. The priest had to declare that they were clean before they could resume their life in the Jewish society. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. They weren't cleansed right away. It was as they went, as they listened to him, as they heard him, as they believed him, as they went. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down at his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. Jesus said, Where are the other nine? They weren't thankful. Well, I'm going to make a couple points here. There's a couple words in here I'm going to give you the definition of. In verse 14, it says, It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. The word cleansed is Strong's number 2511. It means catharizo. It's a Greek word. We get the word catheter from it. It means to purify. And that's what a catheter does, isn't it? In verse 19, though, it says, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This is the same thing he said to Bartimaeus in Mark after he'd healed him. Your faith has made you whole. This is a different word. It's the Greek word sozo. It means to heal, to save, to deliver. So that tells me that he wasn't just healed physically. He was healed spiritually. I heard somebody suggest, and it may be true, I don't know, I don't have any authority to or anything to document it or anything to verify it. But then when he said he were whole, when he told the other ones they were cleansed, or when the other ones were cleansed, they still contained the marks of the leprosy. They still retained it, although they were purified, the blood was purified, and they were healed of it. Yet they still looked like they had been lepers. But that maybe this one, after giving thanks, and Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, that was taken away from them. I tend to think that's true. Leprosy. I'm going to read something here that's actually it's quite lengthy. But it's a comparison of leprosy and a malady that we all have suffered from. The malady is sin. They're very, very similar. Number one, leprosy has an insignificant beginning, almost imperceptible. Leviticus 13:2 describes its start as a rising, a scab, or a bright spot. It's very insignificant. It's very minor. They might look at it and just notice something. Maybe you just, that looks interesting. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't look like it's very much. No warning is given of what it will lead to. When sin entered the world, it would also seem to have similar beginnings. It's just a piece of fruit. We're not hurting anybody but ourselves, right? It's no big deal. And yet, what does it lead to? Number two, leprosy is inherited. It's a communicable disease. It poisons the blood and is readily transmitted from parent to child. It's the same with sin. Romans 5:12, but by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. David in Psalms 51:5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Number three, leprosy works gradually and subtly. At the beginning, there's very little pain. No real indication of what lies ahead. But in its later stages, it makes itself fully known. Sin is also very subtle and sly, with its victims blind to how it's working. Hebrews 3:13 speaks of the deceitfulness of sin. It's not until we're convicted by the Holy Spirit that we are aware of how bad it is. Number four, leprosy spreads rapidly. It begins with small spots in the skin that increase in severity until the whole body is affected. It extends inwardly and it spreads outwardly, eating through the flesh all the way to the bone. Sin also corrupts every part of our being, our heart, our mind, our will, our conscience, our body, soul, and spirit are equally poisoned. Romans 7:18 says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Number five, leprosy is highly infectious. It's inherited inwardly and is contagious outwardly. The leper spreads his disease everywhere he goes. Sin is not only inherited by nature, but it's developed by association with the wicked. 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us evil communications corrupt good manners. Some translations say bad company corrupts good habits. We're told in Proverbs 4:14-15, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Number six, leprosy is peculiarly loathsome. Not lonesome. Loathsome. There are not many people that could look for very long at a leper. Under Judaism, there is no physician that could render care to him. So it can be said about his putrefying sores, what is written in Isaiah 1:6. They have not been closed, neither mollified with ointment. This is a figure of how repellent the sinner is to God. Habakkuk 1:13 says of God that he is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. Number seven, leprosy is a state of living death. There is a discoloration of the skin, loss of sensation, and spreading ulceration. The fingers, toes, and nose atrophy. Vision is impaired, sometimes blindness results. It has been said the leper is a walking sepulcher. And this is precisely what sin is. It's a state of spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1 says the sinner is dead in trespasses and sin. Number eight, leprosy was dealt with by banishment. Leviticus 13:46 says of the leper, he shall dwell alone without the camp, outside the camp, without the camp shall his habitation be. We see how strictly this is enforced with incidents involving a couple people. Even though Miriam was Moses' sister, even though Isaiah was a king of Judah, yet when they became afflicted with leprosy, they were still banished outside the camp. There was no exceptions. It doesn't matter who you are, who you know. Lepers were denied participation in political and religious activities. They were dealt with as dead. They were excluded from fellowship. This is how God regards the sinner, because sin separates from his presence. It also affects our fellowship with one another too, doesn't it? Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Number nine, leprosy makes its victims objects of shame. It could not be otherwise. It turns something beautiful into something hideous and shameful. Leviticus 13:45, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. He had to announce his condition to the world. He had to humiliate and make a spectacle of himself. In like manner, sin brings shame and humiliation. And it mars the features of one that is created in the image of God. Finally, number 10, leprosy was incurable so far as the Old Testament was concerned. The leper was beyond human help. From a human point of view, it was hopeless. The final outcome was always inevitably fatal. Likewise, there is no human cure for sin. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But what is beyond the power of man is possible with God. Hebrews 7:25 says he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We've all been there, haven't we? We were all spiritual lepers. One leper went back. So why didn't the other nine go back? Maybe after healing, the nine didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritan. After all, they were Jewish, and the Jews didn't like Samaritans. When they were lepers, he was just another leper. But when they were no longer lepers, all of a sudden he's a Samaritan. Sometimes we can treat people like lepers, can't we? Do we see this happening in our church? I've experienced it. But it's not about that, is it? It's about seeking God, and that's why we continue to come to church no matter how much we've been wounded. It was okay to hang out with them while they were lepers. You know, misery loves company, and there isn't a whole lot of people that you can associate with, right? It's pretty easy to hang out with people when you're a sinner, too. You can just go into a bar and you can find another sinner. And maybe all of a sudden they thought that they were better than him. It does occur in the Christian church. I'm a wretch that was saved by amazing grace, but I'm not as bad as that tax collector over there, right? Okay. Maybe in their eagerness to get to the priest, they didn't want to slow up. I can understand that. You know, they've been suffering for a long time, and they want to get it over with. They want to get on with their lives. Maybe they wanted to get to the priest ahead of the Samaritan. Maybe they thought that if they went there with the Samaritan, maybe the priest wouldn't be as kind and as charitable to them. You know, sometimes we get ashamed of the people we're around, don't we? Or we can. Maybe they were more concerned with themselves than with their neighbor. Maybe they were more concerned with duty than with knowing their healer. Maybe they were more concerned with religion than with the relationship with their Lord. Maybe they were more concerned with themselves than with expressing gratitude to Jesus. Maybe they were more concerned with looking forward than remembering where they came from. I will never forget where I came from. Maybe they were more concerned with a representative of God, the priest, than they were with God in the flesh. Maybe they were more concerned with things physical than with things eternal. Colossians 3:2 says, set your heart on things above and not on things of the earth. Because that's what it's all about, isn't it? Ultimately, that's where our focus should be. How important was thankfulness to them? Doesn't it appear as though they were thankful? They may have been grateful that it happened. I'm sure they were. But yet the idea of going back and thanking the one that healed them didn't seem to occur to them. How important was thankfulness to the Samaritan? Obviously, it was important. He could have been in a hurry. He was probably in a hurry to get to the priest too, to be declared cleansed. How important is thankfulness to the Lord? Does he need it? Does he require it? No. It's important to him because of us. Our physical and spiritual well-being does require it, does need it. Many times in the Bible we're told to be thankful. Many times. It's an attitude that we need to adopt. It becomes part of us, doesn't it? Cultivating the thankful spirit. We need to have thankful thoughts. We need to remind ourselves over and over the things that the Lord has done for us. Are you thankful this morning? It's not just about one day a year, though, is it? Someone mentioned that this morning. I'm thankful for many things. I'm thankful for my wife and family. I'm thankful for everything I have. I even try to be thankful when things aren't going well. Lisa had some problems, and count it all joy, right, Lisa? Things didn't work out on your trip the way you thought, but hey, God obviously had other plans. Thank God. What am I most thankful for? He knows me, everything about me, and yet he still loves me. And not only that, according to Psalms 18, he delights in me. That amazes me. I can understand him loving me because that's his job, right? That's what he does. But liking me, there's been a lot of times in my life I haven't been very likable, and yet he does anyway. I was chosen by him before the world was formed. I have a home prepared for me and waiting for me in heaven. He will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. He goes before me and brings up my rear guard. It says that in Isaiah 52:12. He is always with me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Friends will. Family will. But he won't. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed my sin from me. It's actually further than that. In our thinking, in our understanding, it's worded that way because that's as far as a good thing. But just imagine if God were to pick up your sins and throw them as hard as he could, how far they'd go. That's how far he's thrown them. He has plans for me. Plans of good and not evil to give me a future and a hope. While I was without strength, Jesus Christ died for me. While I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. He knew me. He chose me. He loved me. He forgave me. He delivered me. He saved me. And I get to spend eternity with him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, this morning for, and every morning, Lord, for all you do and all you've done for us, Lord. Every breath we take, every breath we take, every beat of our heart, Lord, is provided by you. We don't even have to think about it. It just does it automatically because that's the way you programmed it. I don't even know if science can explain that, Lord. It's just what is, because you said it is. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us to be more thankful. Help us to be more mindful of the things you've done for us, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we would seek to do things that bring glory to your name and honor to you, Lord. That we will remember that the thankfulness and the things you've done. And that we will seek the things of you. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each one of us today. You'd keep us safe. You'd keep us close to you. And you'd bring us back when we meet again. Give us a thankful spirit, Lord. And provide us with the joy that comes with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.